Morning, thank you so much. Good morning, welcome to today's BPW meeting. I first just want to take a moment to recognize the passing and the extraordinary life of Reverend Jesse Jackson. You know, someone who inspired us to be better, who pushed us to be better, and someone who reminded this country in any way and every day and every way that we have a solemn responsibility, that we are all God's children, and that by definition, we all have value and worth that needs to be lifted and needs to be respected. You know, a person who didn't make it just a significant impact on the state of Maryland, but the United States of America and the world. And so on behalf of the entire state, we just want to give our deepest condolences to the Jackson family. We want to thank them for sharing their family member with us, and to say that because he was here, we were all because of it, and may he rest in eternal peace. I also, before we get started, I know that everybody has seen the president's tweet about the sewage pipe spill. It is typically unhinged. It is riddled with insults, but it's also riddled with massive inaccuracies. And while we do not have the time, and I do not have the energy to fact check the president of the United States, I do think it is worth time to actually be able to correct the record and to talk about accurately what actually happened and what's been done. As you might know, on January 19th of 2026, a section of the Potomac Interceptor sewage line collapsed near the Clara Barton Parkway and I-495. But the president's tweet actually failed to mention a few things. First, that for the past century, the federal government has been responsible for the Potomac Interceptor. The sewage pipe that he is talking about is on federal land. And over these past 4 weeks, the Trump Vance administration has failed to act. This federal administration has been shirking its responsibilities and putting people's health at risk. The second thing, on Friday, Maryland agencies and DC Water presented a major two-hour legislative hearing in the Maryland General Assembly and provided updates on the cleanup and also the status of water quality. Trump's EPA was invited, and they refused to attend. Maryland, on the other hand, has stepped up to protect its residents, to protect drinking water, and to ensure accountability. Third, Maryland officials were on site within hours of the leak to do our part to coordinate the response and to ensure that the public was protected. Since this spill occurred, the Maryland Department of the Environment has been monitoring bacteria levels, coordinating with local jurisdictions, and conducting multiple site inspections. MDE issued a precautionary closure to a shellfish harvesting area from Charles County to Route 301. And in coordination with the Maryland Department of Health, counties have issued public health advisories and will track ongoing water quality sampling. Testing shows bacterial levels decreasing over time and significantly lower concentrations farther downstream from the site of the initial spill. So Maryland will continue monitoring and remain engaged throughout the full remediation and continue to partner with leaders in the District of Columbia and the Commonwealth of Virginia as part of our larger coordinated response. So I want to be very, very clear. This is a DC pipe on federal land. The two reasons that Maryland decided to intervene, and I order our agencies to support, are two reasons. One, we wanted to protect the health of Marylanders and any type of contamination or contagion. And the second, we believe in being good neighbors. And when our neighbors are in trouble, we are going to find ways to help and support them. But to blame Maryland in this, when this is a DC pipe on federal land, is asinine It is disingenuous, absurd, and politically motivated. If this federal administration wants to show up to take action, Maryland will work collaboratively, as we always do, to be responsive and help to keep our people informed about the plan and to remediate change. But if the president wants me to ask nicely, my response is this: please, Mr. President, do your job. And with that, we'll get started with the business of the day. Good morning, Secretary Gonsha.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 24 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and one report of emergency procurement contract award. There are 24 items, include two hand-carried items, Governor. Item 23 contains updates to COMAR 21, the state procurement regulations, and item 24 contains a new BPW advisory to agencies on the inclusion of climate and sustainability information on Board of Public Works action agenda items. At the request of Maryland Environmental Service, I am withdrawing item 19, leaving the 23 items in the emergency procurement report for your consideration this morning.
Captain. Great. Thank you so much. First, I would like to take a moment to both thank and congratulate the comptroller on the new climate and sustainability advisory that the board will be issuing later today. I want to thank you because I know this has been a priority for you since the transition. And your leadership in making this advisory happen is why it is happening. So I just want to say thank you and congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you want me to talk about
please.
It now
yeah,
or later?
Please. Absolutely.
Okay, I'll do it now. Okay. Well, thank you, Governor. I really, that means a lot. I really do appreciate it. Change is happening at the Board of Public Works today in a number of ways. And as the executive secretary said, today we are going to adopt a new advisory requiring every agency when bringing certain items before us to demonstrate how that item advances or aligns with our state's climate goals. Because when we spend taxpayer dollars, build infrastructure, or enter into contracts on behalf of the people of Maryland, we have an obligation, a real and serious obligation to understand how those decisions will shape our state's future and to act to ensure best value. Our state has some of the most ambitious climate goals in the nation, but goals, however ambitious, are only as meaningful as the decisions that they inform. This board oversees billions of dollars in contracts and capital projects annually. That is not merely an administrative function. It is a profound responsibility and a genuine opportunity to ensure our public investments reflect our values and our vision. So I want to acknowledge Treasurer Nancy Kopp, who first championed this idea. Nancy understood, as I know this board understands, that fiscal responsibility and environmental stewardship are not competing priorities. They are, in fact, inseparable ones. Climate risk is financial risk, full stop. That is not a political statement. It is the assessment of economists, insurers, and investors around the world. And it must be front of mind for every decision maker at every level of government. This advisory is the product of collaboration with my colleagues on this board, Mr. Treasurer, Mr. Governor, thank you, with the agencies who will carry out this work, and with dedicated public servants, including my Board of Public Works team, and also Kim Pezza, my Climate Resilience Director, who have all worked to make this moment possible. We will not solve the climate crisis in a single day or with a single policy, but we will address it together, deliberately, and with accountability built into the process. This advisory makes visible the work that agencies are already doing and ensures that work is connected to our larger mission. I've always believed that transparency is one of the most powerful tools available to government. When we open processes to scrutiny, we do not weaken them. We strengthen them. We build the public trust that makes durable progress possible. A more transparent, climate-conscious Board of Public Works means a stronger, more resilient Maryland, and a future our children and grandchildren will be better equipped to face. So thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Mr. Secretary, Drake, Manny, Joanna, Tom, Michelle, the whole team for helping to bring us here. Mr. Treasurer as well. And thank you to all of our partners in this important work. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Madam Comptroller. Thank you. And I understand we have a few speaker requests for this morning. So in the interest of time, I would just ask the speakers would limit their remarks to 2 minutes. And I'd ask the Secretary to be service timekeeper on that. We have a speaker request for item 21, which is a request from the Maryland Stadium Authority to award a $61.2 million contract to Clark Construction Group for the redevelopment of Maryland's racing facilities. I'd like to recognize Mr. Ray Baker, representing the Baltimore, D.C. Building and Construction Trades Council. Mr. Baker, it is great to see you, and please, please join us.
Good morning, Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, Treasurer Davis. For the record, I am Ray Baker, the Maryland Director of the Baltimore, D.C. Building Trades Council. I want to express the Council's deep desire that this GMP and future GMPs on the Maryland Racing Facility Project be done with the highest labor standards. We believe it is the best and most ethical use of the state's resources. Unfortunately, despite all the progress we've made in the state of Maryland, a reality is that wage theft is still rampant in the state, especially in trades that are captured in this GMP. Now, during the May 7th, 2025 Board of Public Works meeting, I addressed the board, sharing our eagerness to work with the Maryland Stadium Authority to reach workforce development goals, local hiring goals, and to prevent wage theft through project labor agreements. However, following our meeting with Clark Construction, we came away clearly understanding that they would not enter into a PLA unless directed to do so by the Maryland Stadium Authority. As a result, we are concerned that this project is especially susceptible to the kind of wage theft that we've seen in Maryland. It disproportionately affects vulnerable Black, Brown, and immigrant workers, especially prevalent in carpentry work, which is in fact included in the scope of work in this GMP. We were disappointed to learn that some workers in Baltimore City have filed complaints on wage theft on a project at Commodore John Rogers Elementary Middle School that's governed by MSA. The redevelopment of Pimlico should be a flagship project for our state. It is critically important that this board ensures that MSA does not allow issues that have plagued other projects to tarnish this. We're happy to work with you all to ensure that we make sure that Marylanders and Baltimoreans are getting good work at good wages. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Question.
Sir.
Well, am I to understand correctly, you're saying on this particular project, the Stadium Authority, that there's been wage theft?
On this project that we're talking about with regard to 21 GMP, no, sir, I'm not alleging that. What I am suggesting is that there have been evidence and allegations on other MSA projects, and we hope that this project does not have that happen to it, and we want to work toward that via the use of a project labor.
Let me follow that up.
Yes, sir.
I haven't served on economic matters for the state. I'm a little familiar with this process. Are these state allegations or federal, meaning, or what I'm asking, have you all been through the process? Well, wage theft is an allegation, and it very well could be true, but that's sort of a process issue. Have they gone through the process and received a ruling whether, in fact, it was that, or is this still just an allegation?
This is still a complaint at this point, and the suit has been filed in court. And we wanted to bring this to the attention so that the board could help provide oversight to Maryland Stadium Authority to ensure that their subcontractors, at least not the ones mentioned in the allegation, would be those that were liable to get this type of work moving forward.
If it hasn't been adjudicated or whatever, how do we know that there's been wrongdoing?
Oh, we want to raise your attention to it prior to it happening with a shame, Treasurer. And I understand your point, and I appreciate the point. A shame we would face would be the event that there was an allegation here, and for some reason, a similar size subcontractor or the same one's name got more work from the state through an MSA project, and we found that it was happening again. Now, we do have anecdotal, and I respect the limitations of anecdotal evidence from our organizers on sites that we have this more than just in this complaint, but the complaint that had been filed is the most formal of its kind, and we wanted to bring it to the board's attention so that MSA could follow up on that.
And lastly, because I know project labor agreements, that's been an issue for quite a while. I believe, Governor, you did an executive order a couple years ago. Have there been any PLAs since that executive order that you guys have been awarded, or are we still waiting on anything?
Two have been put forward. One had an opportunity for full exemption for MBE contractors. The other does not have that, and that we look forward to working on that and demonstrating how effective and how well that serves Marylanders, the workers, the state, and everybody. And we look forward to more work, and we believe that the directive from the governor's executive order around $35 million for state finance project would be perfect to apply to Maryland Stadium Authority projects, particularly in the Baltimore area.
Well, not, and I definitely want to thank that because I remember that sort of had the Black Hawk is in a bind on the one hand. Obviously, we want to support those in labor, but the health and
yes, sir,
welfare, so to speak, of our minority businesses, that's also a competing concern. So,
Mr. Treasurer, a last point on that with full deference and respect to you there. I am very good friends and fat brothers, Blue Fox, with our new chair, caucus chair, N. Scott, Delegate N. Scott Phillips. I've been in conversations working with him, and I've also met with Senator Augustine because we believe that we can ensure that those contractors that the Black Caucus were concerned about do not face any additional hurdles or burdens when we put project labor agreements on that. And we look forward to the support of the board to help us bridge that gap. And I think we're doing that in your home county, in Prince George's County, with the schools project.
You said your frat brothers would.
It was a bit of a dig at the governor because with regard to Brother Scott, we got him outnumbered here.
Oh, no.
You couldn't.
Yeah,
oh, high five.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Charger.
Mr. Baker, thank you so much. You know, we've worked, I think my agency has worked with many of the building trades on some of the wage theft issues. My only request for all speakers, and I've said this to previous speakers, so I need to say it to you too, is to make sure that we stay on the issue that we're actually seeing. So,
yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
We thought it was germane for the GMP, but yes, ma'am, well received, and we'll adhere to that moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you all.
Thank you, Baker. Any further discussion on the secretary's agenda?
No.
May I have a motion to approve the secretary's agenda?
Motion to approve the secretary's agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Next, we proceed with the Department of Natural Resources agenda. Secretary Kurtz, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 12 items for your consideration today. We are going to withdraw item 6A. And I'm available, and my staff is available to answer any questions you may have.
Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda?
Discussion.
May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Secretary.
Will 6A be coming back? Yeah, I know. That's fine.
No, it won't because they've gotten federal funds for it.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Next up, University System of Maryland. Mr. Hickey, good morning.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey representing University System of Maryland. There are five items on our agenda. I am withdrawing item 5S, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
Nope. I just want to thank Mr. Hickey, University of Baltimore, University System for answering all our questions and working with us. Thank you.
Thank you for meeting with us.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Chair. We'll proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Donsky, good morning.
Morning, Governor. Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer, for the record, my name is Valerie Radonsky, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 18 agenda items, including one report of an expedited procurement for your consideration. We're seeking approval of three awards to duly certified MBE and certified small businesses totaling $9.7 million, and two awards to duly certified VSBE and certified small businesses totaling $5.9 million. And we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much. Discussion on that agenda?
Sure. I just have a couple of points. Thanks, Ms. Radomski. Good to see you. And thank you, Mr. Governor. There are a few requests for contract extensions to maintain continuity of service. And yes, this is routine and all of our agencies have had to do them. I just want to note, though, that in this agenda alone, there are over $20 million. And so, you know, when agencies obviously don't anticipate their needs, it's going to limit competition. And I know that this is a priority for Acting Secretary Thompson. We've talked about procurement and the need for more procurement staff. And I just wanted to highlight that as a continuing issue. And then also wanted to highlight 16M. We just talked about the new climate advisory. And I want to commend agencies like MDOT and USM who've already been doing this work voluntarily. In this agenda item, MDOT outlines how their solicitation incorporates review by the Maryland Green Purchasing Committee, requirements selecting native plants, best practices for outdoor pest management, and specifications for landscaping mulch. So just really appreciate the work that you're doing to highlight this and also actually doing the work. It's important. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Any further discussion on the MDOT agenda?
Not an MDOT.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Mr. Chair. And we'll conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Chaudhry, good morning. But also, before we start, I just want to give a special shout out to you and the entire DGS team. When the Walk for Peace happened and the monks made their way to Annapolis, in days' notice, you all did a spectacular job in preparing this entire complex for what we had no idea was going to be the size. It turned into 12,000 plus people who then came to the complex, and the work that you all did to be able to make sure that everyone was going to be safe, and it turned into a pretty remarkable and memorable day for everybody. Just want to give you and your entire team a shout out, because it could not have happened without you. So it's really well done, Secretary.
Well done.
Well done. And I wanted to recognize the Maryland Capitol Police Office of Facilities Management within DGS, as well as our partners, Annapolis Police Department and Maryland State Police, that coordinated on that regard. As we were escorting the monks, I was just in awe of the amount of outpouring and support that was received by them, and the emotions of everyone that was there. And it just goes to show that in this political climate that we live in today, people are just looking for hope. They're just looking for hope and just for peace. And it was a very peaceful event, thankfully. It exceeded our expectations, but we were so, so happy just to be a part of this, just to be a part of this and celebrate them coming here to our great state. And I think we just needed it here in the state and across the country as well.
We did.
Thank you.
Yes. We will
Let me go there.
Yes, again. Sorry, Mr. Secretary.
Secretary Gott's going to yell at me for not interviewing again. Thank you, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Ms. Treasurer. For the record, I'm the Chief Charter Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 92 items on our agenda. Our agenda does feature 65 capital grants and loans, totaling more than $48.9 million. I did want to highlight one in particular. That's item 8, CGL, which provides $4 million to Howard County Housing Commission for the construction of a new theatrical and visual arts cultural center, as well as additional affordable housing units located in Columbia. As we continue to keep an eye on our minority business participation, our agenda does include 8 contract actions to certified minority businesses totaling more than $28.3 million. And we have 12 contract actions as well to certified small businesses totaling more than $31.9 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much. And I actually want to take a moment also just to recognize some of the great work that's receiving funding through our capital grants program. Across the 65 capital grants on today's agenda, we'll be awarding $49 million to projects in 14 counties and Baltimore City. And that includes $5.4 million in grants to Southern Maryland to support recreation, food security, and health services. It includes $8 million in grants to Western Maryland for local revitalization and renovation of our schools. It includes $7.3 million in grants to the Capital Region for 23 separate capital projects. And it includes $15.7 million in grants to Baltimore City for public safety, medical care and research, and also our public parks. And I just want to take a moment just to thank you again, and you and your team for supporting all these grantees and supporting just really the remarkable work that's happening, and also just the speed and efficiency in which these grants are getting approved and out. So thank you so much again.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Happy to do it. It's very much team effort working collaboratively to get these out and manage them for purpose. So thank you for that.
Good work.
This agenda might have my last bond bill as a legislator too.
Oh.
Patterson Park Pool was one of the last things we worked on my last year as a delegate. So it's great to see it coming through in under 7 years, as it right. should.
That's right.
Yep.
Lastly, we have a speaker request for item 18, which is a request to award $75,000 capital grant to Spirit Fit and Health Incorporated for the expansion of their current facility to provide wellness classes, personal training, and inclusive fitness services to individuals with developmental and physical disabilities. And I'd like to recognize Jared Sener, who is the founder and the CEO of the Spirit Club, who's going to join us virtually to speak on behalf of this item. Mr. Sener, good morning.
Governor, unfortunately, Mr. Sinner's not online. He's here in the room.
Oh.
In the dress room, but I'm not seeing him online. I believe he's in attendance.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Any further discussion on the DDS agenda?
I just wanted to give a shout out. Two things I'd like to give a shout out to. One, on 81 IT, unlike other items on this agenda, I'm excited to point out this contract extension, because for sub item 3.1, MDH is using this extension to bring in-house 9 positions as full-time state employees. I think insourcing whenever we can to build up our state expertise saves us money on contractors and improves service quality. So it's great to see that. And then I also wanted to thank Secretary Chaudhry and his team. We opened our new Bel Air branch office today. So it's been a learning experience for everyone. And I really appreciate your persistence in helping us. And we are excited to be open today for business. Thank you.
Excellent. If there's no further discussion, may I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thanks, Mr. Secretary. Before we conclude, I'd like to give it to the treasurer for a few minutes.
Thank you. First of all, this is unrelated to what we talked about. I want to thank you. I kid you a lot about the fraternity and sorority stuff, but you were very gracious hosting my guys when they were here last Thursday. They enjoyed the conversation and the chance to fellowship with you a bit. So I wanted to say thank you for that.
There was like 80 of them. I couldn't say that.
But, you know, the governor and to everybody else that's listening right now, it's funny that you and the comptroller, you know, started talking about the capital grants and loan program. Those are, you know, some people derisively want to call it port, but those are very important community initiated projects.
Yep.
That they may not otherwise have an ability to get funding for, and they go on to do great things. So why am I bringing that up? About a couple weeks ago, a couple of the fraternities and sororities, they came to me and said, listen, there's a hot issue out in the community dealing with data centers. You might have heard of that. But we'd like to have a forum on it to educate the public so they can ask questions and, you know, make informed decisions and so forth. Can you help us get a place? And, you know, they needed some place for about 100, 125 people or so. And I said, sure, I would try to help you. So and they wanted, it's not just Prince George's, it's some of the adjacent counties, but Prince George's is sort of in the middle. So within that, I tried to get a place within the middle of that, you know, north, between North and South County and, you know, for the adjacent counties as well. So I called up Prince George's Community College. I wasn't going to name names, but I am now. I called them up and said, hey, and I explained it just as I explained to you all, said, can we have a place 6 to 9 p.m. to have this meeting? And they said, sure, $1,700. I said, it's a meeting. It's not a fundraiser. We're not having a social event. You know, it's just a place to sit and talk. Didn't move anything. Okay. So then I called Bowie. $2,200. You know, with the facility alone was that, and then stuff that was already paid for, it had to be paid for again, $2,200. And then I started getting annoyed, and you know how I can be. So they lowered it to $1,200. And I was like, nah, we'll talk, you know, we'll have this conversation again right here. And so then, and I know how this works. So I called Jazz Lewis at the University of Maryland and said, Jazz, what's going on? And I said, what can you all do? And I put them in touch. And I wasn't in the negotiations, but I got back to Jazz. I was like, by the way, how did that work out? He said, we were able to do it. And they told me the cost was $400. $400. Now, we can argue whether or not that should be done, but the point I'm getting at is this. This is not their money. The capital grants loan, most of the places the taxpayers paid for, we built the place. and you're treating it like it's, I don't know, Constitution Hall or someplace, MGM, whatever. These are not private facilities. These are publicly funded facilities that the taxpayers pay for, that they want to use to have a meeting. And you're basically holding them hostage. And it happens around the state, because I've talked to other legislators about, they happen to randomly mention it as well. So it's not just at these two facilities that I had an issue with. It's around there. Now, I compare that with a high school in my district, Bishop McNamara High School. Yeah, it's a private private school, and they've received what I think is significant state money as well to build out and so forth. But they are very much a part of the community. Senator Charles and the current delegates, as well as past delegates from our district, will tell you anytime we call McNamara and say, because it's also centrally located in our district, can we have a meeting there? Or you know, we want to have like a legislative wrap. After Sine Die every year, they would, you know, have people come and present, you know, what happened in the budget and all that. They always opened their doors. They didn't charge for things that they were going to do anyway, like the trash was going to be taken out the next morning anyway. So they didn't have that charge. They didn't nickel and dime, is what I'm trying to say. And to Dr. Barnhart and before him, Dr. Clark, the CEO, president CEO of that school, they said, Delegate Davis at that time, we want to be a part of the community. We don't want to just accept take, but we want to be able to extend as well. We're not just an academic institution. We're part of the community. So, and I conclude with this. When you come and ask, the way I feel, if you come and you're asking for state resources, you have an obligation to give back. You're not entitled to that money. And see, you know, higher ed sometimes feel put upon, but this is why. It's just selfish as hell to think you're going to nickel and dime everything you're going to get. And it's a conversation I'm certainly going to have with the legislators, because if you can't give back, and I can't support you. I can't support you. So, Governor and Comptroller and everybody, thank you for giving me this opportunity. But I wanted to be clear of what goes on and how certain institutions do not in this state do not feel like they're part of the community when it comes to giving back. But when it comes time to take, their hands are out front. And feel free to call them. Anybody that don't like this, call me. Thank you.
With that, that concludes today's BPW meeting. The next one will be on March 4th. Thank you all, and meeting is adjourned.